When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The cream of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
What's up, everybody? It is Sunday morning. Jesse and I got the coffee in hand. Both of us drinking out of our Top Rope Nation mugs. Gotta love it. It's episode 370. What is it? 375? Yeah, 375 of Top Rope Nation. The John Cena heel turn edition of Top Rope Nation. Jesse, John Cena, 20 years later, has turned heel. We're here to talk about it. How you doing this morning?
Great times. I'm doing really well. It's going to be a gorgeous Sunday, and I did the vast majority of my housework yesterday, so I'm going to get out and enjoy it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, a little break from professional wrestling after we talk about it here?
I don't know about that, to be honest. I got a lot to go over retro-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be doing In Your House 6 this week. I got to watch that one yet, too. I got to catch up on Collision. So not really going to be any AEW talk this morning, you guys. It's all WWE. We got a poppin' chat room all ready to talk Elimination Chamber with us. My God, Ryan Huffman in the hospital waiting for his wife to give birth is here checking in. Now this is dedication. Ryan Huffman, one of the top rope nationers, I got to say. Ryan, happy to have you this morning.
Oh my gosh. TRNers, look at this. Lively chat. I'm so thankful.
Ryan says, just hoping she doesn't turn heel when she comes out. My God.
Jay, it's gonna take a while.
Baby
Ryan
might never know a world with Superface John Cena. Man, we got a lot of chatters.
That's a valid point, Jay.
Aaron Graham is here. John Hope is here. John Hope says, Ryan Huffman, the baby might take your soul. We got Niall Clark here. You guys.
Niall,
we're talking about it. We're talking about this in the back rooms of Top Rope Nation headquarters. This show might be changing time slots to a weekend morning consistently because this seems to be when you guys show up, and this is a lot more fun when this chat room is active. So happy to see everyone this morning as we talk Elimination Chamber. We're going to talk John Cena right away, so you can give us your thoughts on that. Jesse Velasquez, first of all, give me your score A through F. For Elimination Chamber.
I thoroughly enjoyed the majority of the show. I'm going to nitpick just a touch. Okay. This could have been an A show. Call me crazy. I'm going to go B plus for the moment. I upgraded it from a B to a B plus because how often have we seen a John Cena heel turn?
Yeah. I mean, that's got to factor into your grade a little bit. I mean, I was having trouble with it last night too. I was on BR and I gave it B to B plus last night because I said, I mean, that was an all-timer of a show close. It was extremely memorable. I thought the undercard was fine. Not, you know, if I'm grading the whole show, the undercard was like, I enjoyed watching it. It wasn't anything really blow away. Even Sammy Kevin was like, it's all right. We'll get into it.
We'll definitely get into that one.
Overall, when you close a show with an ending like that, I mean, I can't go below a B. I mean, that is something that people are going to be showing in the highlight reels in WWE for decades. So, I mean, I got to bump it up just for that, right? Now, Jay Schmitz gave it an A, you know, so he's at an A.
Yeah, if he's doing that, folks, then you better take some notes.
Yeah, he says, my inner tribalism wants to not like it, but man, very, very memorable. Right? This Ryan Huffman's killing me this morning. He says, fun moment. I texted several people last night going, I have some big news. Then hit him. John Cena turned heel. No baby yet.
Enough comedy jokes.
John Hope, best WWE pay-per-view PLE in a while. Solid B for me. Yeah, I mean, it was solid. I will give them that. You know, I guess we're going to start. We got to start with the main event and then we'll work our way backwards. All right. So right away, just I don't have a ton of deep thoughts on the match. There was, after we recorded, Jesse, the preview, which, by the way, no Justin joined this morning. Lo and behold, sickness going around the joint household, unfortunately, as we talked about on Thursday. So Justin couldn't join us. So get well soon to his wife, actually, who's feeling under the weather right now. So it'll be just Jesse and I as we talk about this. But when we all three were on the preview show on Thursday, right after we did the show, there's this report out there that Drew McIntyre was scheduled to win Elimination Chamber. We talked about it on text the next day. And right away, Jesse, we were like, I don't buy this. Drew McIntyre, really? The guy who just lost to Jimmy Uso on SmackDown? I mean, come on. And the report was coming from someone that I wouldn't call super reputable, so I didn't give it much credence. But people were talking about it, so we were talking about it on text. And we're like, man, if they actually shift to that, we're going to look dumb on our preview because we didn't even consider him. But Jesse, Drew McIntyre was the first to be eliminated in this match. I mean, they built up again the heat with him and Damian Priest. So I was not shocked when he went out. That it never made any sense that he would win this match.
I clapped when it happened. I said, yeah, that report was absolutely asinine. So yeah, it's going to be nice to see him and Damian in a lower card match, because I think this, the way the WrestleMania is headed, it's going to be fairly stacked.
Yeah. You know, one nitpick I had on the Elimination Chamber is, I think in years past, this is just a presentation thing, in years past, the way that they did the selection where the lights would blink around the chamber, they didn't really do it that way this time. It was just this weird like audio noise and then one of them would light up. Not as effective. They got to go back to the old way they did it, I think.
Very true. I think this chamber as a whole was a little bit better than years past. I think both chambers were, we'll get into the women's later, but no, it's a pretty tired gimmick. They just use it as a vehicle for that other world championship title match that wasn't determined at Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So the order of elimination, Priest eliminated McIntyre. And then we had Logan Paul eliminate Damian Priest like right after that. And then Punk eliminated Logan Paul. And then Punk eliminated Seth Rollins. So we got down to exactly what we thought on the preview. It was either going to be John Cena or CM Punk. It seemed like those were the only two that logically you could really make the argument for, right? And we went through both of them on Thursday. We said if you did John Cena, it didn't really interest me that much. They would have to do something more than just John Cena and Cody Rhodes, because babyface, we said it on the show, it's like, that's not that interesting. I pitched the idea of, you know, a Punk heel turn. We had a lot of comments on that when I posted the clip around all the different websites and social and stuff. And that, I still think that would have played out pretty well. I think that would have been a good direction to go. But then at the same time, as we talked about, you know, it's John Cena's last WrestleMania as a performer. I'm sure they want to capitalize on that. And, you know, the way it all ended up is Rollins was still hanging around in the cage. And he got involved. He gave the stomp to Punk, like kind of on the outside. And then John locked in, not really the STFU, but he had like a sleeper hold on him with the toe hold. And Punk ends up passing out. And that is what wins the match for John Cena. So I want to ask your initial reaction. My initial reaction was kind of disappointment, because I was like, I'm not that into this. That was the most predictable route at that point. How are you feeling at the moment of the finish, Jesse?
Disappointed. I'm glad that they did it the way they did. Because Cena's been 0 for the century since 2018 in terms of his win-loss record. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. He's just been jobbing to everybody. And they always just come back to nostalgia acts. And this is his retirement tour too. How many people who are in their last year of professional wrestling get to main event the largest card of said promotion? We're going way back. Maybe Vern Gagne in the AWA, but that's because he was booking himself. Fritz Von Erich, same deal. I mean, This John Cena is not the one booking himself. Cena and Punk, they have really good chemistry still.
We got that one-on-one with them at the end for a little while. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, good. I mean, I saw a reaction on Twitter just talking about how when the first four men were in the ring, everything just seemed kind of slow. And then you get Cena and Punk in there and just this excitement started to brew. And these guys are working in their late 40s and they're just, all they're really doing are throwing fists and relying on chemistry and just their connection with the crowd. And that could be a problem, I feel, for maybe today's generation of pro wrestlers is not connecting with the crowd and relying more so on heavier move sets. So I think maybe when they're going through the PC and NXT, people need to start teaching them this connection with the crowd thing, because that's going to be a problem when the Cenas retire, the Punks retire. Then what happens from a business perspective?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. They right when they got together, those two, pretty much immediately, they each hit their finisher on the other. And we had, you know, the attitude adjustment, Punk kicking out, the go to sleep, Cena kicked out, of course. So they traded finishers and a lot of sweet reversals between the two of them. But I mean, yeah, you get that Seth Rollins involvement in the finish. And so when Cena won and, you know, they ended up starting to build to that, you know, you had Cody out there and everything. It was kind of like, okay, like I understand why they're doing this, but like, like I said on the preview show, I didn't think a babyface match between these two would be that enticing. And in the immediate aftermath of the match, it wasn't, I don't think. I don't think it really looked like an exciting direction until Jesse. We got the turn and we get The Rock out there. Travis Scott, who hung around for some reason, was out there for, he should have just been there for the entrance. I mean, him being in the ring throughout this was kind of lame. I mean, look, it's still an all-time angle, but I didn't really need Travis Scott hanging out in the background during all of this. But Travis Scott was in the ring for all of it. He even held up like Cody's head and was jawing in his face and all this. But you get The Rock out there, you know, Rock, I need your soul. I want it all. It was very erotic almost between these two.
The way this has kind of been erotic in a way, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I will open my arms. You will come to me. You will embrace me. I want it all, Cody. I want your mind. I want your soul. And God have mercy, I need your soul.
He needs it all of this. And then, you know, Cody says, I want it all too, but how does I repeat the lines? It's sounding even more erotic. He wants it all, Rock. But then he says, you know, he gave his soul already to the business and these people. And we got Cody Rhodes dropping an F-bomb, Jesse. No bleep. He told The Rock to go fuck himself. And the crowd popped big. Rock sold this great, just stone face reaction to all of it. You know, I was on live on Bleacher Report as this was happening. And as this played out, it became pretty clear the heel turn was coming, because I kept saying on our stream, why is Cena still there? Why is he out? Like, clearly John Cena's going to do something here. And then he was really over the top clapping in the background, that, you know, almost overselling it, that Cody Rhodes had told The Rock no and all of that. And it's like, all right, it's coming. It's coming. But the way, Jesse, they did the heel turn where, you know, they're celebrating and Cena's happy and then Cody, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get the embrace between John Cena and Cody. And then Cena does that like dark stone faced look at The Rock, and The Rock does the throat thing. The crowd just popped massive for that. Your thoughts on the actual turn?
Ryan, it was telegraphed from the very beginning. You said it with Cena being in the ring, you knew it was either him or it was going to be Cody. You mean it was kind of one of those things where you didn't know who, but this is something that we've been kind of clamoring for when Cena was a full-time guy. It's like, let's turn him heel. So I thought the presentation of it was very well done. And off topic, does this make Travis Scott a tweener? Because he loves to accompany Jey Uso to the ring as well.
Yeah, what the hell, man? What, Jey Uso on one hand, The Rock on the other. He's just out for the stars. It doesn't matter, I guess. But like, I would not have had him in the ring for this. I just wouldn't have. But you know, whatever. He's a big star. They like that kind of thing.
Absolutely not. I mean, it got the desired reaction that they wanted specifically. And it was short, to be honest. I'm glad that Rock didn't take 10 to 15 minutes of drawn out dialogue. They pretty much got straight to the point.
Yes.
Now it's just going to be interesting to see a corporate Cena, if that's what he's going to be. I'm curious to see where this character goes. I think that part's going to be fun. But again, with him in his retirement tour going for number 17 and having to sell his soul to do it is the story here.
Yeah. A lot of chats here. Jay says, swear word or not, Cody is still a terrible actor.
Yeah. I popped for that big, by the way. It wasn't Christian Cage-esque. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You didn't expect that out of World Wrestling Entertainment to hear an F-bomb on television.
No.
They usually get to it pretty quick when Dwayne does something like that, because he's pretty much the only one allowed to.
Yeah. Yeah, John says, I'm a Punk detractor and never liked Cena, but I was impressed here with how they managed to move as quick as they did. That's going back to those two at the end of the ring, at the end of the match in the ring. Justin, our co-host, is in the chat. He says Cena has to win at Mania now, and that's going to lead right into Niall's question, because Niall says, do you think they have Cena win? My feeling is Cody wins, perhaps with the help of Austin fending off Rock. Cena turns back, realizing selling out didn't work, and wins 17 later in the year. I think that you have to have Cena win. I would have Cena win personally, and then you make Cody chase. And eventually, John Cena is going to turn back babyface before this year's over. Clearly, he's not going to go out as a heel. But I personally agree with Justin. I think that now that they did this big turn, I feel like you got to have Cena win, and then Cody overcome him down the line. I feel like you got to draw it out a little bit. And I think Cena will have the title for a little while too. It won't be like a 1 month thing. What do you think, Jesse?
Storyline wise, this does make sense for him to win. I don't want it at all.
Yeah.
Again, for the reasons I laid out earlier, just to quote unquote break a record, which if you really look back into the history books, Ric Flair's technically won about 20 something world championships, so Cena doesn't really have it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Let somebody who is actually in the promotion defeat Cody for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the direction they're going to go now. And let's actually see Cena put his working boots on for the next 10 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. Frank's in our chat. He's talking about this 13 years behind schedule. You know, they could have done the heel turn years ago with Cena. I mean, shit, I was at WrestleMania 22 and he was booed out of the building. That was almost 20 years ago.
That's right.
So, I mean, you could have done it damn near 20 years ago, even with him. I think the difference now is obviously, and you know, Frank kind of hit this with Punk back in the day. He was a top face too. He wasn't the kind of face that the company likes to push though. They, with Cody Rhodes, they have the traditional type of top baby face that they like, who can do all the appearances, who moves a ton of merch. And I think that's why you saw this happen, because, you know, they resisted the Cena heel turn all those years because Cena moved so much merchandise and he was there full time. You know, now with the heel turn, they got their top merch seller. It's Cody Rhodes by far. You know, Cena's not a full time worker anymore. He doesn't have to rely on the merch sales anymore. He makes plenty of money in Hollywood. And I think it's just more feasible for them to do it now. Now, I was surprised they did it, because I didn't think for a farewell tour they would do it. I figured they would try to capitalize on the merch as best they could the whole year. And they, like Justin saying in the chat, they'll get back to it. Eventually he will turn back babyface. He'll have his realization and he'll probably end up teaming with Cody by the end of the year or something. That'll all happen. But for the interim, it is going to be very interesting. It does make WrestleMania way more interesting than doing a babyface match between these two. I'm way more invested in this match now. I'm more excited to watch television now.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you know, I pitched the Punk idea. I still think that would have been more interesting to have Punk turn, because he doesn't really work full time, but he's on there most weeks, you know, and he's going to be around longer than Cena. I feel like you could get even more out of the Punk heel turn. And who knows how many WrestleManias Punk has left too. You know, his body is really crumbled in recent years. Hopefully he can stay healthy. And I guess he could still get a main event if they do the triple threat. That's my other point with all of this. The Rollins costing Punk the match thing. So it seems like we're certainly getting at least a singles match between them, if not the triple threat with Roman that's been rumored. I'm not really that interested in that match. I definitely don't need to see Punk and Rollins again. We just saw it on, you know, the Raw on Netflix. So they're running back a lot of the matches we've already seen, like with Jey Uso and Gunther, and now Seth and Punk feuding. They've been feuding for a year and a half. So you're going to add probably Roman to that mix, we think, and maybe spice that up a little bit. And that could main event one of the nights. I guess for Punk's direction, I'm not super interested now. I would have been a lot more interested in a heel turn, putting him on top, doing something with Cena underneath. That said, if you're going to go with John Cena in the main event, this is absolutely the way to do it. The heel turn was awesome. And, you know, I got to hand it to him. It's a great ending to the show.
It was smarter for them to go that route too, with Cena turning heel as opposed to Cody selling his soul in this aspect. Because if you look back to WrestleMania 17, Steve Austin, probably the number one merch mover in the company, most popular guy by far of that era, turns heel in his home state, and all of a sudden you see business start to decline over time. It took a little while, but I think with Cena, you don't have to worry about those repercussions because, again, he's only around for 10 more months. If you were to turn somebody currently, what happens to business over the course of the next 2, 3, 4 years? The mystery, it's there. Cody's just better off right now as a babyface, as much as I like him more as a heel, personally. I think maybe we all do. With CM Punk's direction too, I think he still has a favor to call in with Paul Heyman. I don't necessarily, and I don't want it to be Cena, Punk, Cody, triple threat main event, and Punk calling out his favor for that. I don't want it, but there's a sliver of a chance that could happen. In terms of his direction, I think he's just going to have to, once again, patiently just wait his turn and play a good cop, or just be on the political side of things with World Wrestling Entertainment. Try to hold that poker face and just play nice. So yeah, I think he's gonna end up in that triple threat with Rollins and Reigns, and we'll see what they do with it. Where the hell's Roman right now is my other question.
Yeah, I mean, some people thought he might come out during the main. No Roman. It'll be really interesting. As far as the playing nice behind the scenes thing, did you see that Punk did an interview this week where he said, I don't really care about the main event thing anymore?
I know. He's not their definition of the corporate style champion. He never has been. He's always been the anti-hero, like sticking up for the commoner, more or less, in spite of the fact that Cody's dad was the common man that everybody stuck up for. So I think this whole thing's fun. Let's talk about this. So I've seen a lot of this in the chat. What Cena's look is going to look like, and with the music and things, he has to stick with My Time Is Now. I don't change that.
I would love to see him go back to Thuganomics. I really like that theme song, the original.
I'm with you on that.
I would like to see it. What if they did like a remix of basic Thuganomics and then they had Travis Scott on it?
I think that's a great way to go, to be honest with you, especially because he was out there in the corner.
Yep. I feel like that's a possibility. You know, we'll see. But yeah, I'll be interested. Cena was looking like Dad John Cena. He had the all white shoes on last night, not like the coolest shoes. Had the massive bald spot, as everyone was talking about throughout the match. He's getting older. Yes. But yeah, I mean, he still moved well in the ring. Like, especially, you know, this isn't like an AEW style match, but they move a little slower in WWE. But he kept up for a guy who hasn't been working much in recent years. So I thought he'd fine out there. And then, you know, with the white shoes, I thought maybe get a little more blood on him in the aftermath. At least they did have Cody bleed. He could have bled more, if I'm being nitpicky. He could have got a little. He could have cut a little more deep, maybe taken a couple more aspirin. But blood, at least. You know,
Well, this is going to get into something later and nitpicking as to why I didn't throw this in the A minus to A bucket with Cody bleeding instead of something, instead of a different match or a different segment having blood in it.
Yeah. No, I know where you're going on that one. And I agree because they needed it in that match big time. And then we didn't get it. And I guess this is probably why, but you could still do blood in two matches. Come on. But yeah, no, this was awesome. If you didn't see it, you need to watch. The match itself was really good too.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the whole thing, to be honest with you. So it was really well done. This was a fun show. That's how it ended. Now, anything more on the main event before we work backwards? Anything else you want to say?
I had here. Let me just quickly glance at my notes. If there's anything super glaring, I have it right here. No.
Roman eventually get involved in this to help Cody, and we finally get Roman versus Rock. I don't know. They could. I keep being skeptical if Rock's ever going to work again, but
I know. Back to two things. Back to Cena and his physique. He's still looking damn good for, I think, 47, 48 years old. Let's face it, our testosterone starts to go down in our 40s, folks. So yeah. can't keep that peak physique forever. And the last thing I was going to say, which I had, Cena putting the sleeper and getting Punk to pass out. You could see Cena whisper something into Punk's ear. I'm assuming it was thank you or something along those lines. I thought that was a cool touch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious how the Punk, Seth and Roman thing will happen. It's that, again, like I said, is not the most appealing thing to me, but you know, maybe they'll get me. They got some twists and turns, but I mean, I've seen Punk and Seth feuding for so long now that factoring in the finish, I was kind of shaking my head because I wanted to see something a little bit more interesting to Punk. But again, that feud, that could get him into the main event if that's what they're going to try to do. It certainly could happen. But otherwise, you got CM Punk once again taking the back seat to The Rock and John Cena.
But he doesn't care now.
He doesn't care now, though, apparently. So.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. The semi-main was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So let's talk about that. We were really looking forward to this match going in. These two are always terrific together. We don't know what the direction for Sami Zayn for WrestleMania is. We talked about on the preview show, we thought Kevin Owens and Orton was probably the direction. I talked about it on our show that I thought Owens would win. He'd continue beating down Sami Zayn. And Randy Orton would come out for the save. And that's exactly what happened on the show. Jesse, I don't know. Like, it was a pretty good match. But there was a couple things that detracted from it for me. And some of it has to do with what we've been watching recently. Because on TRN Classics, which, by the way, let me run our Patreon names at the bottom before I forget. On Top Rope Nation Classics, our most recent edition, we reviewed Royal Rumble 2000 and talked a lot about the street fight with Hunter and Cactus Jack. And although in that match at one point they appeared to switch out the barbed wire for gimmick barbed wire, early in the match they had real barbed wire and you could see it sticking to them back at Royal Rumble 2000. And, you know, look, I know it's 2025, but this was pretty clearly gimmicked barbed wire in this match. I mean, it did not stick to anything. And if you're getting slammed face first into barbed wire, like you have to juice, you have to have blood. And they didn't have any blood in this match. And to me, that just really took away from the match. It was still a spectacle. It had an outstanding match. Technically, I just felt like you really needed blood, Jesse, and maybe just watching that 2000 match jaded me a little bit on it since we had watched it so recently and evaluated it and everything. But give me your take on Sami and Kevin Owens.
You hit the sweet spots, especially Because Kevin Owens, I felt, did a really good job on selling his eye after the trip into the barbed wire. So I was like waiting for juice.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then to see again Cody later juice, I was like, ooh, a political move where Owens and Zayn aren't high enough on the food chain to warrant blood, when this one totally warranted blood. It was unsanctioned. They even darkened the lights a little bit in the arena, which I thought was a cool touch. And they did some good stuff. I felt this was a really good match, but it was missing something. Blood was number one. And I felt that there should have been different choices of weapons as well. Not just chairs, not just tables. I love the hockey stick because you're in Canada. Use that as a weapon. That's fantastic. But there needed to be more. And I did like John Hope's point here in the chat about ref having the gloves on. Yeah, that also should be a tip off that blood is coming. Nothing happened. Because otherwise, like, I would say from an unsanctioned match perspective, it leaves you wanting more. There wasn't enough juice. I'm going to use that as a pun here to like really put this into the 4.5, 4.75, 5 range that these two could easily put on if you give them that added bonus of blood in the match.
Yeah. Absolutely. We got people pretty high on this match in our chat. John Hope, favorite match of the night. Niall Clark, it was a good match, but lacked that extra sauce to make it great. Yep, total agreement. We've got Jay. My only issue with KO Zayn, which ruled, is that no WWE fan can ever complain about people and other companies not selling extreme moves. Fair enough. Yeah. Ryan, feels like Sammy may just get thrown in some icy ladder match or something. Yeah, I don't know where they go with him now. We shall see. It was a good match. I needed blood to really put it over the top. But yeah, I mean, KL gets the win. We got the power bombs against the ring apron on the outside. They had the lights dimmed because it was unsanctioned, yet we had officials out there at the end, you know, like trying to break up stuff and not let Kevin Owens get so brutal on Sammy, which I thought was a little odd. If it's unsanctioned, why is there officials out there? A little strange, but it was effective. You get Randy coming out at the end. They're setting up KO and Randy just as we expected, as I said. But yeah, it just didn't quite get to that top level for me. It was very good. It was really fun, but blood would have really put that over the top, like you said, Jesse, to get that in that upper kind of 4-star territory.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now they're using it as a vehicle for KO and Randy. Oh, selfish me kind of hopes that Sammy's out for a little while, misses WrestleMania, and signs a contract elsewhere. It's not going to happen.
I wouldn't complain. I don't think it's going to happen, but I certainly wouldn't complain at all. I'd like to see it, but you know, there was another match on this show, Jesse, which, by the way, before we get into any of this, I haven't promoted our stuff yet. I usually do it at the top, but I was so excited to talk about this John Cena heel turn. You guys, if you're here live or even on demand, hit the like button if you haven't already. Helps us in that YouTube algorithm. Subscribe if you haven't already here on the channel. We would really, really appreciate that. Like I said at the top, we are kind of debating moving our show permanently to the weekend on the mornings. Now that could make the schedule of the show a little fluid. Like some weeks we might be able to do it Saturday morning. Some weeks it might be Sunday morning. It'll kind of depend. Or even, you know, if we have work off, we might during the week, we might do it then. But one issue we've been running into is that our live viewership on Thursday nights is not where we would like it to be when we do the live shows. This is just so much more fun with this happening chat room. And so it seems that more of our listeners can watch us on the weekend mornings. You can chime in and let us know your thoughts. You can email us at topropenation@gmail.com. But we've been in the Thursday night slot for a long, long time. But it just appears, and I'm seeing it again today, that weekend morning seems to be better for viewership. So we'll have an announcement for you soon, but there is the possibility we do move the schedule moving forward. So stay tuned. You're going to want to be subscribed to the channel so you know. You get those alerts. Turn the notification bell on. Every time we go live, you'll get the alert. And of course, you can also find us on the podcast feed. So subscribe wherever you get podcasts. 5-star reviews on there help a lot. Written reviews even more so. And if you want that bonus content, patreon.com/toprope nation. There's a link here in the description. You can get a 7-day free trial and get access for free to all of the bonus shows. We're closing in on 200 bonus shows on the Patreon feed. All the classic shows, Jesse's TRN Unplugged going up almost weekly, TRN Extra once in a while. We got merch drawings, all kinds of stuff. So that's the best way to support our show, Patreon. Check it out.
We don't do this for us as much as we do love professional wrestling. We do this for you. We're being 100% honest. It's a lot of fun, a lot more lively to see people interacting with us on these shows and giving us some feedback that we need. And I do have my working boots on, especially because, yes, this has become weekly again with the review of 1995 ECW. Talk about blood. I'm going to be talking about Axel and Ian Rotten on their... on that recent show, or actually just covered it. That was one of the bloodiest things I've ever seen.
That was, you were like, I was uncomfortable watching this, but if this is your cup of tea,
yeah,
check
yeah.
it out.
If you're a deathmatch person, you would have truly enjoyed this. But for me, I was just like, ooh, turn away. I do know my ECW history, but that was probably a top five deathmatch, I think, in terms of just the gore and everything involved in it. And like, that's the whole premise of their feud. It's just, oh yeah. Again, it was a buffet in 1995 for ECW, which I really hit hard here on these shows. So if you love that stuff, I'll be continuing through 1996 as well. I have to, because I know that year is just a little bit better than 95 was.
Yeah. Jay is saying in the chat, the ECW recaps on Unplugged are fantastic. They are. I agree. I've learned a lot because I wasn't really watching ECW in 95. That's all on the Patreon side. That's Jesse's bonus show over there. I got it on the stream right now. You guys can kind of see, if you're not a patron, you know what it looks like. You go to our collection section and you can see, I mean, there's 62 editions of TRN Classics. We got 35 of Unplugged right now. We got 81 editions of Top Rope Nation Extra. But you go to those sections, and if you sign up for the free trial, you get full access right away for 7 days. And if you like it, just stay on. It's $5 a month, gets you access to all the bonus shows. There's higher tiers if you want more benefits, but you know, as you can see, there's a lot of content behind the paywall. We do it for you guys because you like these bonus shows. You know, years ago I started the Patreon because I asked people, is this something that you would like? And they said, yeah. So we started doing TRN Classics, and we've kind of, you know, evolved over time since then. So we got all these classics in the archives. Every month we go back and we review a bonus show from the month that we're on. So like we'll be doing a February show, you know, this month, March next month, and so on. And our patrons vote on the shows that they want. So you guys determine kind of those classic shows that we do. They're always at least 2 hours. We've gone almost 3 hours on these in the past. So yeah.
Which we might when WrestleMania hits. Yeah. You never know. Sure. Yeah, I'll go. There's one extra thing. And just because of my schedule is changing a little bit just for this week only, I'm going to be releasing an Unplug a little bit earlier. It's been dropping on overnight Monday night into Tuesday morning. It's probably going to hit your inbox on Monday late morning, very early afternoon. I think I'm going to record it today.
Okay, nice. No rest for the wicked around these parts. Dedication. We love it.
That's what the coffee's for.
And there's that Unplugged mug, which you can get at topropenation.com to show you a little bit more. But truly, good merchandise. Look at this stuff.
Yes.
All right. Real quick here, we got a couple more matches to talk about. This one, not a lot of discussion will need to happen. I said on a preview show, it was a lock of the night. Trish Stratus is not losing in Toronto during her 25th anniversary return. Tiffany Stratton is not losing as she heads into WrestleMania to wrestle Charlotte Flair. Certainly not losing to Candice LeRae and Nia Jax. And they did not. Went just under 12 minutes. But yeah, Tiffany and Trish get the win. No surprise. I don't really have any deep thoughts on this match, Jesse. You?
I'll touch on a couple. There was too many hot tags for me, I felt, in this match, because when Tiffany tagged Trish and it was about 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Let's keep it sub 10. And they kept going.
Yeah.
And it came right after the women's chamber, which had some drama too. It was okay at times and sloppy at times. The coolest part of all of this, I felt, was Nia Jax actually took the pin. You figured Candice was there to eat it, and that, mm-hmm. that made my soul happy, because I am a Candice LeRae fan, in spite of the fact she hasn't been used well whatsoever since she stepped foot into the promotion, and that includes NXT.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, a bit long, but
oh, yeah,
the right winners, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about the women's elimination chamber. This is pretty good. I think it was one of the better women's elimination chamber matches. They had a strong roster out there, of course, with, you know, Bianca Belair, one of the top women workers in the promotion, Bayley in the match, Naomi in the match, Roxanne Perez. You know, she's obviously on the come up. We've been very high on her on the podcast in recent weeks. Yeah, Liv, Alexa Bliss. We'll go order of elimination and then just some bigger thoughts. So Naomi was eliminated first because we had the return of Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill going, just beating the hell out of Naomi. So, you know, we got her return. So evidently Naomi was responsible for the attack, or she thinks she was responsible for the attack. We shall see. But yeah, Naomi was unable to compete after Jade destroyed her. And I thought that this, Jesse, was really well done. You know, I still think you probably don't want Jade Cargill in a 15-minute match, but if you can use her in these short beatdown segments like this, and then in her actual matches, keeping them pretty tight, she's extremely effective, and this was A+. Well done.
Yep, and if you get this leads to a Jade-Naomi match, maybe a WrestleMania or any time sooner, it's going to be a 7-8-minute match, which is exactly Jade's wheelhouse right now. The cool touches on this that I really enjoyed were Bianca and Naomi both wearing white for their gear. Jade Cargill comes out in black.
Yeah.
Just those cool little things. And yeah, that beatdown was absolutely wonderful, let me tell you. Going to backtrack just real quick. Yes, with Trish Stratus's pop, I wrote that in my notes. I said, wow, either the building is quieter than it should be or the audio is really bad, because it was a lot quieter than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
For a legend like that in her hometown to get a match, and her kids were in the building as well watching her for the first time.
Yeah, because Niall had mentioned Tiffany got a bigger pop, and yeah, Tiffany is just ultra over right now. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. that was, she got a great reaction, but I expected more for Trish, absolutely. They take out Naomi right away, and then we don't get an elimination until almost 20 minutes in. You had Liv Morgan take out Bayley. Bliss took out Roxanne Perez 23 minutes in, and then Liv took out Alexa Bliss, which left it to Liv and Bianca. So yeah, I mean, the final three were really the only ones that people, you know, thought had a chance to win. Again, we had we talked about it on the preview show, Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley is one of the most protected matches they could do. They've never had a singles match on the main roster. Liv made sense from a storyline perspective, even though they've done the match already. That's certainly not, you know, putting them off other matches on the WrestleMania card. They're running back several matches we've already seen. But I didn't think that would be that interesting since we've seen it now for so long. So Liv, though, you know, she's in that final two. And Alexa Bliss, even though she's a SmackDown star, she just came back. She's ultra popular always. So some people had predicted maybe she would be in the mix, but no, she was the third to last, but she got eliminated by Liv. And then, of course, Bianca eliminates Liv Morgan to win the match in about 29 minutes. I think this was the right call overall. I think this is the best direction they can go. Man, Bianca just whipped the shit out of Liv Morgan with that hair in this match. There was that, they were like on top of the pod in the corner, and she whipped her. Oh my God, she had this massive like cut on her side. Liv did from it. It was insane, super loud.
Protecting Roxanne Perez. I believe that Alexa Bliss hit a, no, she hit the Twisted Bliss, and Liv Morgan, I think, hit the Oblivion before that. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was cool to see that touch. I was a little bit surprised Bayley wasn't one of the final three as well. On top of that spot with the hair whip, there was also Liv's use of Bianca's hair as she was slamming her into the cage, and like she was bouncing back, hitting the ropes, using using the ropes and bouncing back to the cage. I thought that was a super cool spot there too. And Liv is looking better in the ring. It's you can see the improvement over the last year. And Paul Levesque made that point in his press conference later that Liv has taken a giant step since last year. And you're not getting any arguments from me. Right winner here for sure, though, Bianca Belair. And build this the way that it should be over the next month and a half, because this should be a special match between these two, unless, because what did you think of the stare down at the end?
It was all right. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to see how they play out the story. But yeah, Rio is kind of towering over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she had her lifters on, as there's a certain podcast that I listen to that, about 70% of the talent have lifters in their boots to make them look taller.
Yeah. I mean, she looked like it. She was, it was not even, but I mean, it was fine. But I think as they build the match, it'll become a huge deal, just because we haven't really seen it. And this is the most interesting direction for Ripley. Now, you know, I had kind of pushed the idea on our preview show of, would they turn Belair? And I mean, it's still possible depending on how this attack on Jade thing plays out. But, you know, it appears Naomi and Jade will be the WrestleMania match, but it'll be interesting, that dynamic in building to Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, because I think Ripley is going to get predominantly most of the cheers in this match. And so, do you just kind of let Bianca stand there and not get the cheers, or do you go all in and turn her to make it even more enticing, like they did with John Cena? You know, we shall see.
Yeah, I think with Jade beating up Naomi like that, and Bianca just like in the pod, just frantically beating on the plexiglass, trying to get out and showing the sympathy for her fill-in tag team partner, because her former tag team partner is coming out for revenge because she thinks that she did it. Maybe Bianca does turn heel and they find a way to kind of finagle it into this story, and she becomes the hated persona against Rhea, who is, you just mentioned, one of the biggest reactions on any show that she's on. And she just turned babyface not that long ago either.
Yeah. We had someone commenting on one of the clips, I'll just bring this up now, that I had posted from our preview show, about how they didn't want to see Bianca turn because she's so popular with the kids and she moves merchandise and all of this. And she moves merch, but we're not talking like John Cena levels merch where they didn't turn him all those years because of that. I mean, they don't really merchandise the women that well at all. I can tell you this from having daughters who love all these women performers, and it's hard to find merch for them a lot of the time. I may go back a couple of years when Bianca Belair was main eventing WrestleMania. My two older girls wanted Bianca Belair shirts, and they didn't even have any. There was no kids shirts for her. So, like, I don't think that Bianca being popular should be a detriment to a possible heel turn to make this even more interesting. I'm not saying that they're going to do it, but I think there's an argument to be made. I just don't think that we're talking about levels of merchandise that would prevent them from doing that in the women's division.
Yeah, there are definitely tiers to this thing. That's T-I-E-R-S tiers, with Rhea probably on top of the merch mountain on the women's side, and then there's everybody else kind of fighting for the table scraps. But Charlotte Flair will try to find a way to like throw something beautiful out there, and her fans will buy it, so she'll get elevated here in the near future from that perspective.
Jay in the chat: I went from not excited about WrestleMania to now excited about Rhea, Bianca, and Cody Cena. But I have to say, this year feels like it should be an old school one night instead of, you know, a one night 4-hour show instead of the 2-night shows. Yeah, I think if this was all condensed into one night, you'd be talking about an all time WrestleMania card probably by the time we get there. When you spread it out over two nights, it's harder to make the argument, I think, but you know, we'll see. It's certainly a lot more expensive to go, Jesse. God, I want to go to WrestleMania next year in New Orleans, but man, those tickets for two nights, it's going to be a lot. We'll have to see if we can convince Justin. We need more patrons.
I know.
We need more patrons so we can afford to go.
We're going to have to brainstorm some ideas behind the scenes and how to get more people in. I don't know. Who knows? Well, maybe you can just manifest it into the air. With those 4-hour shows, by the way,
Yeah.
You know, if there weren't so many championships in the WWE side, Raw and SmackDown, this would be super ideal to do a old school one night, 4 to 4.5 hour extravaganza. And I don't think I would get tired, because they do a really good job of hyper focusing on the matches that are in front of you with these 4 to 5 card shows. If you were to double it to 8, maybe 9, much like AEW does, you could get away with it and you would do a hell of a job. But they're also making so much money hand and fist for two nights on WrestleMania, they probably won't go back to this one night format again, unless business starts to decline, which the way the ebbs and flows are, it's going to happen.
That's the whole point. Once they've opened the Pandora's box to people will buy tickets for two nights, how do they, you know, turn their gate in half and go back to the old way? It's just not going to happen unless they start struggling to move tickets again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd always prefer the one night deal, but yeah, two nights, we'll be here to talk about it. You know, when WrestleMania comes around in April, we'll have probably two review shows like we've done for these two nights. Although it might get a little complicated since they're doing it Easter weekend and we have children.
Yeah. So
I don't know how we'll do that. We'll have to cross that bridge when we get there.
Mm-hmm. I have my son that weekend too. It'll be me staying up till 1:30 in the morning to get through both of those.
Yeah. It's going to be challenging. Challenging for your pro wrestling podcasters, but we'll make it work somehow. We got a little time to figure it out. So yeah, that was Elimination Chamber, Jesse. Anything we didn't discuss that you wanted to get to?
Notes quickly. No, I don't think so. We hit every major topic that I wanted to talk about. I'll throw one minor thing in here. When Kevin Owens came out to the ring for that street fight, Michael Cole made the comment of him beating John Cena 10 years ago at this same event. And that kind of struck a chord with me, which again, I said, it's going to bite them in the ass at some point in time soon that you don't have current people on this roster that are going to be moving tickets like the Dwayne Johnsons and the John Cenas do, because you can't rely on this forever. And then Michael Cole dropping shit also in that final segment with Elimination Chamber and The Rock and John Cena and Cody Rhodes segment was interesting too. As Justin said, the more swear words on a show, the better.
Did you notice Justin said he was counting? This was a callback to when my daughter was in the office with me and she was counting our swears on the show. She had an AirPod in, so she was listening to us and she had a tally going, if you guys missed that show, of how many times we swore. And yeah, this time it was the performer swearing. Cody Rhodes dropping an F-bomb, Michael Cole swearing. He was just aghast at what we saw.
Yeah. Yes. And by the way, for that episode that I think it was Eden that was on, Ryan, you and I didn't swear at all on that show.
No, we did not. I stayed very clean. I had to. Right here.
Justin Joint's tally on that wonderful morning was probably in the low double digits.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we hit it all. John, yeah, we talked about Randy Orton's return. It was, you know, we predicted on the preview show, it's fine. You know, I'm not a huge Randy Orton fan, but the crowd liked seeing him return. You know, this was kind of expected. And yeah, I mean, that's the direction. Kevin Owens and Randy.
He's still huge.
He's still gigantic. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Do we think the roster is too big for a one night WrestleMania? Too many people to get on the show? Yeah. I mean, it depends on the perspective on that. We've always kind of looked at this as like, you know, not everybody plays in the Super Bowl. Not everyone makes it to the Stanley Cup. You don't have to have every single person on the show, but their perspective is, they want to get everyone on the show. So with the roster that big, you know, it used to be when they were doing the one nights, they created the Andre the Giant Battle Royal to just throw everyone out there. Now the two nights allows them to do it. Is it too big? I don't think so, because I still think I would rather see just the cream of the crop. It's the biggest show of the year. Not everyone has to be on it. Your thoughts, Jesse?
I would say that it slightly is a little bit too big of a roster, but yeah, Ryan's points are extremely valid. I would love for it to be one night again, but again, making way too much money. 40. Yeah. Just going down like the list of who's on the roster and should they be on the show. One thing that's really, really cool is that SmackDown recently has been the night before these PLEs. They've been putting a title match or two on their show to just make it feel like, okay, this was left out of the PLE, but we're going to give you this. And Raw's giving you Rhea and Io Sky for the women's championship on this following Raw. So they're doing a good job of balancing and maximizing the talent in different ways and giving them a spotlight on the TV as opposed to the PLE.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a good job of that, like making those go home shows feel a little bit bigger, and you at least getting those people out there. They're always in pretty much the same city, so you still have the traveling audience for the PLEs, and they get out there in front of them a little bit.
Nile, throw that Nile up there. Some guys have been there too long.
Yeah,
Randy
Orton. Right, just shoehorn Randy Orton into a WrestleMania match, you know. I guess he hasn't been around really at all for a while, but
John Cena, CM Punk revisiting a 2011 feud in 2025.
Yeah.
Oh, change is good for business.
I hope that those two do have a singles match on a PLE though, because what we saw in the chamber between Punk and Cena was really good. I want to see them have a full on singles match, which look, a heel Cena face Punk match would be kind of interesting.
I'm here
for it. The promos would be good.
Oh, yes.
John asks, will we be doing a post-Revolution show? We will, but we got to figure out how, because it's a Sunday show with work the next day, and those pay-per-views always go really late. So we haven't decided how we're going to be doing that next week. We'll be doing something, though. I think the schedule is Classics later this week for our patrons. So there's not going to be a standard Thursday night flagship. It'll be Classic. So if you're a patron, you'll be able to tune in live or get the podcast after the fact. And then we'll be doing something for Revolution, whether we stay up late Sunday or we do something Monday night. Stay tuned for that. But yeah, we'll be doing something for sure.
And depending on, like I said, this week's kind of thrown in a couple different directions for me, I might do a Revolution preview on Unplugged.
Okay, nice. Yeah, look for that. Cena versus Punk at SummerSlam, Kyle Ryan says. Yeah, I could get behind that with Cena as the champion.
It's also one that doesn't need a title, unless you want to move Punk to the top guy in the promotion at that time, which is, I don't think he would mind that at all, and the fans definitely wouldn't either.
Yeah. It'll be really interesting. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but if they do have Cena beat Cody, which I think is probably the play, I think you got to have a title run out of him to really juice this heel turn. And you gotta have him have it for a few months and get some pay-per-view main events out of that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Cena had the title still at SummerSlam and you know, Cody's out of the title picture for a while. I think that would be wise. I would like to see that. We'll see.
So suppose this does happen, I'll ask you this question as well. He does become champion. When he does defend this championship, are you ready for a lot of outside interference on his behalf? Because, he hasn't beaten anybody clean in years, and I don't believe that he really can beat many people cleanly these days.
I think it's got to be like weapons and nucks or whatever, because, I mean, certainly Rock's not going to be out there for all of the matches. He won't be around that often, so that will be interesting to see how they book that. But, yeah, I think just general heel tactics, cheating to win for sure. I'd rather see him cheating to win than having outside interference, to your point.
Yeah, I would be okay with that. And error by Michael Cole last night as well when Cena hit Cody with his watch. And Michael Cole thought it was brass knuckles.
Yeah. I mean, it was like the watch that The Rock had given Cody, right? That was the whole symbolism behind that. Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the babyface heel dynamic, and this company is just so heavy on babyfaces right now. When you look at the top guys in the promotion, they're mostly babyfaces, right? Because like everybody loves Roman now. Punk's a babyface. Seth's a babyface, right? Like Damian Priest turned. He's been champion in the last year or so. You got a few heels. Like obviously Gunther is a heel. But man, they are so heavy on the babyface side that if Cena wins the title, they can do it. There's a lot of money matches there for him to face a whole litany of top tier babyface challengers. So, and then whenever Cena leaves, then you can turn Punk, and then you can get that mileage out of Punk as the heel.
But yeah, this is exactly the problem we were talking about when Cody was, or yeah, when Cody won the championship, who does he have to face? And it was just a bunch of mid-card guys. We know AJ Styles is definitely one of the most talented performers of all time, but he's in a mid-card stage right now too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Drew is obviously, he's a top level heel when they want to push him as that, but he's kind of in an underneath feud right now. So the top, like tip top guys overwhelmingly are mostly baby faces right now. So yeah, Kyle says heel Cena needs a title. It makes the story make sense. He couldn't break the record on his own and needed The Rock to help him. So he turned. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Yeah. So now, no, I completely agree. Now it's the job of World Wrestling Entertainment to get a couple of these guys that are in the upper mid card, people we haven't seen before. They're trying to do it with Bron Breakker right now, Jacob Fatu. Those are probably the two that you're leaning on at this point. You need another one or two to kind of get into that mix so we don't have to keep seeing John Cena or Dwayne Johnson pop up at these shows as active or as, yeah, acting as talent for that night.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. It's been a fun morning. Appreciate all of you tuning in live. Really enjoyed Elimination Chamber. Loved the ending. I'll give Triple H's props on the way they booked that. It was well done. Phenomenal stuff. And I'm excited to watch Raw on Netflix, I got to tell you. But I'm also excited to watch AEW Collision, which I missed last night. So we'll be talking more AEW next weekend as we review Revolution. As I said, In Your House 6 for our patrons later this week on TRN Classics. Stay tuned for that. Appreciate all your support. If you haven't liked this video here on YouTube before you head out and enjoy your Sunday, Jesse, always a pleasure, my friend.
A lot of fun, Ryan. A fast-moving show. Justin and your family, please get healthy. I just hope it's not my turn next weekend.
I hope not, man. What a brutal flu season it has been. Stay healthy, everybody. We'll talk to you all again real soon.
So,
John Cena, so
you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life, this is basic thugonomics. Word life.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.